You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, hello. This is Kingdom Recovery. I'm James Wrench. I'm with Pastor
Tom Karras,
and Luann is out of town, so we will be having a show with our special guest speaker today. He's going to teach us on the kingdom of God, which is what's so lacking being taught these days, I believe. And 1 Corinthians 2:4 says that they'll know us by our power, not by our words of man's wisdom. So to move in power, you need to understand the kingdom. So Tom's going to be sharing with us today. So,
yeah, and we need to thank Luann for this opportunity, you know, for me to come together and preach the gospel. And I just want to go to some scriptures today. So if you're there and you have a Bible, or if you have your phone or whatever, or you just want to jot them down, you may want to do that and go over some of the scriptures that we'll be looking at today as we talk about the kingdom of God. When I got saved some 40 years ago, basically I was never told about the kingdom of God. Nobody even mentioned the kingdom of God. It was all about basically quit sinning and you got a shot at heaven. You know, you got a 50-50 shot at this point. So that's what everybody told me at that time, and I never understood that the Bible was actually not a religious book, but it was about a king and his kingdom and about actually a father and his family. So as I started thinking about that and reading the Bible just from that perspective, the first scripture that I came over was in John chapter 3. And Jesus is talking to a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. And this is Jesus' one and only sermon, really, that he ever preached or ever taught on being born again. And here, first of all, he says, You must be born again. So it doesn't really matter whether you're Catholic, doesn't matter if you're Lutheran, doesn't matter if you're Methodist, doesn't matter if you're a teacher, preacher, whatever you are, it doesn't make any difference because you must be, first of all, born again. And here when Jesus talked about being born again, it was to my surprise that he never mentioned heaven in that scripture, because that's all I was taught was to be born again. Once you're born again, you're going to heaven. People would say, Are you saved? Yes. Well, what does that mean? That means I'm going to heaven. But Jesus never mentioned heaven in these verses whatsoever. He said, when you're born again, what happens to you is you enter something called the kingdom of God, which is the government of God. So in Jesus' teaching, it didn't really have to do with heaven at all that much. Heaven is basically a byproduct of you entering the kingdom of God, along with a lot of other things that were provided for you. And today's church basically talks about being born again, talks about going to heaven. I can't even find too many places in the Bible where Jesus talked about heaven. And when you check what Jesus preached, which I believe is what we should be preaching, I heard he was pretty good. I never sat underneath him, you know, in public. But I heard he was a good teacher, and he talked about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like. This is what the kingdom of God is. And he did that with parables to try to teach people all about the kingdom of God. So in today's church, at that time, I didn't hear much about the kingdom of God. I heard about heaven. I heard about doing your best to, you know, quit sinning, get sin out of your life, get free, get all this stuff. So I started studying the kingdom of God probably 35 years ago, and I started to see that a new attitude comes into your life when you find out you entered a kingdom, a spiritual government, a spiritual kingdom, than the attitude I had when I was, per se, a Christian. Because the Christian attitude really doesn't take you over into the victory realm that the kingdom takes you into. When you're born into the kingdom of God, you get a lot of different advantages that you find out that were already provided for you when you entered the kingdom of God. These are not things that you get in the kingdom of God and then you try to do or try to become. They are things that you were made the day that you entered into the kingdom of God. And there was a couple of different things that happened in your life that a lot of people don't know. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Nobody ever told me that. Well, let me read it first here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Now, therefore, you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and you're a member of the household of God." Well, nobody told me that once I got born into the kingdom of God that I became, first of all, an actual son of God. He is my father, so I became part of the family of God itself. And number two, I became a citizen of God. And a citizen of the kingdom of God. So it's got to do with the country. Most of us are citizens of the United States. How did we get here? We got born in the United States and became citizens. Well, it's the same way basically in the kingdom of God. Once you get born into the kingdom of God, you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And at that time, the Bible tells us that we now have a mission. We have a purpose. You know, I thought my only purpose was to get to heaven someday. But what was I supposed to do the last 40 years after I got born again? So basically, the Bible tells us that we have become co-laborers with God here in the earth realm. And at that time, I figured that now I had a purpose. Now I had something that God had told me that I needed to do. And if you live without a purpose, this life really doesn't matter much anyway. It's not a very exciting life when you're just here. Many people don't even know why they're here. But when you're here basically to co-labor with God for his kingdom and for his ways, that basically you start to get a purpose and a privilege in your life to go ahead and work with him. So as I studied the Bible, I found out a lot of the things that I was trying to become, I already was because I was in the kingdom. And a lot of things that I wanted, I already had because I was in the kingdom. So it took me from a place of hoping for and wishing for and praying for and believing for things to understand that things were already given to me and they already had been given to me by God himself when I entered the spiritual kingdom of God. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Now, this tells us that we already have all things that pertain to life and godliness. "Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature of God." Now, nobody ever told me I had the divine nature of God. I'm sure they told you were a sinner, saved by grace. You were just doing your best for Jesus. But nobody told me that the nature of God actually came on the inside of me. And when it came on the inside of me, it was now belonged to me. It's not something I had to pray. So I stopped praying to be more like God because I already was, by a miracle, made like God. And when I understood that I was made like God and I agreed with it, I could start acting like God because of what Jesus did. So notice, we've been given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Then I came across a scripture that told me that basically I was more than a conqueror. Well, that's what I've been trying to do for 10 years.
Amen.
Been trying to become more than a conqueror. And basically, I tried and tried, but I didn't understand that according to the Bible, when I entered the kingdom of God that day and I was born again, I already am more than a conqueror. And the Bible said in 1 Peter, then it told me that by his stripes I was healed. Well, I'd been trying to get healed for the first 10 years, not understanding that it was already provided for me, just like salvation. So it seems like we get saved, and because what Christianity has flowed into, we try to get everything else from God, not knowing that when we entered the kingdom, everything that's in the kingdom now belongs to us because we're citizens and we're in the family of God. So basically, I'm a son of God.
Yeah, and I know I've gave this story before, but I liken it to if I gave you a new Mercedes, And then you came by the house and said, I can't take this car. It's a piece of junk. I'm sweating my butt off, and I can't, the mirrors aren't pointing right, and I can't move them. I'm like, well, that's all electronically controlled, and there's air conditioning in there. And the windows you can control with a button over there. If you just read the owner's manual, you already have all that. And it's the same way the kingdom of God. If we read the owner's manual, the will and testament, mm-hmm. if someone was, we had a rich aunt that died, and we knew she loved us most, and she was worth, say, $50 million, we'd be right there to hear the will and testament. And if they said, well, I'm giving you $5 million, we wouldn't go home, well, I hope I get it. No, we would be like, no, she said $5 million is mine, and that's my money, and if I got to go hire a lawyer, I will. You're like, you're going to get that because it's yours. And that's how God moves, is by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the whole kingdom works through faith, though. It's believing his promises and standing on those promises. It's not a gospel of sit back and do,
hoping,
you know.
Hoping and a prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people pray. And I'll tell you, when you're praying for healing for people, I've prayed for a lot of people. A lot of times I'll let them pray first. And I see a lot of healing. But if I get someone that just prays this long, long prayer, all in doubt and begging God, it's like then when I pray, nothing happens. I can feel it going out of me. Like, why is they doing it? I'm like, oh, please stop, please stop. If you don't stop, I can feel that getting all over me. And so,
yeah, and I think that was prophetic when you said, "Give me a Mercedes." I think that is God yeah. speaking to you. Hallelujah! I'm glad you heard him on that. Hallelujah! So, yeah, it's got to do, and faith has been a little bit misunderstood too, because we thought we had enough. We had to get enough faith to get some things from God, not understanding that God has already provided them for them. So we're not believing, never believing for healing or for finances or for something. I'm believing in things. In other words, I'm believing in the healing that he's already provided for me. I'm believing in the position that he already gave me. And this all, once again, came from being born again by the new birth, when you were born into the kingdom of God. So Jesus, basically, in the four Gospels, if you read it, he talked about nothing but about the kingdom of God. That's what he preached about. He didn't even really preach himself. And we do a lot of times preaching Jesus, which is fine, but Jesus didn't even preach Jesus much. He preached about the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 4, he was in a position to where he was actually having a good revival. He was really having some good meetings here. Luke chapter 4, verse 40, it says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him and laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him there and came to him and said, Stay with us." How many know anybody in their right mind would say, "Stay with us," when somebody's having meetings like that? And most people there probably would have set up a tent, had tent revival, you know, the first healing deliverance meeting of 19 whatever. But notice what Jesus said in verse 43. He said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for that's why I was sent." So now we have an indication of why Jesus was sent. And if we're an extension of Jesus' ministry, now we know why we're sent. We're sent to preach and teach the kingdom of God and your entrance into that kingdom of God that has come to you, basically, with all the privileges and all the benefits and everything, basically, that God wants us to have, he's already given us. So sometimes it's hard to thank God as a good God when you're asking him for things and you don't seem to be getting them. Or when you're praying all the time, you don't think you're getting them. I think that probably kills prayer more than anything. I've been praying for a new car for 40 years and ain't got it. I'm done with that prayer stuff. But you've got to understand that everything that you need has already been given to you through life and through godliness, and it already belongs to you, and you simply receive it. You don't achieve it. You don't do something to get it, but you receive it simply by coming in faith, which is agreement with God, agreement for your healing, agreement for your deliverance, agreement for your power, agreement for your authority, because all these things have already been given to each and every one of us. So Jesus went around preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. And I mean, I don't hear this much in church. Nobody ever preached it. Nobody ever taught it. And then he's told his disciples, if you go to Luke chapter 9,
yeah, and I'll say while you're flipping over there, when Jesus was here, he was bound to one body. And when he left, he said, I must go so I can send the Holy Spirit. So by his blood, we were able to come into the presence of God and in right standing and be filled with the Spirit. Now Jesus is in many bodies, and when we cooperate, he can do way more through a million people than he could do through one body. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's his whole idea. That was the whole plan, yes, all the way around. I mean, amen, he created man in his image and in his likeness and put him on this earth to rule, not to anything else but rule. And I mean, we worship, and that's good, and we clap and jump around, and that's good. But you can do all that stuff and not rule over anything in your life. And most of the time, because the teaching out there of God is in control of everything has infiltrated into the church, basically we don't think we can do anything. It's up to God. God, do this. God, remove my mountain. Well, Jesus said, speak to your mountain, it'll move.
Amen.
And God said, the Bible says, pray in tongues. I don't go in the morning and say, Jesus, would you please pray in tongues for me today? No, we don't do that, because all this stuff, we're a part of it. It's like God and sons. I love that. God and sons working together, doing what they're supposed to do. So here's Jesus talking to
I just want to say real quick, sons, sure, includes women. That's all.
Yeah. Yes.
Listening.
Well, it includes the species of man,
yes,
which includes women.
Yes.
Yes.
So they know.
So Luke chapter 9, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Once again, what did he send the first 12 out to do? Not to preach faith necessarily. It's all right. Not to preach healing necessarily. To preach the kingdom of God, because everything's included in the kingdom of God. It seems like in my early days, I'd hear teachings on healing, and I'd say, that's it. I've got health. And then somebody preach on faith, and I'd listen to faith and say, now I've got faith, but now I forgot that I was healed. And then I would go to the next thing. I've got authority. They told me I got authority. Well, now I forgot my faith in healing. And I just kept going around a circle, not knowing that everything was all-inclusive. You know, it's like when you go to a restaurant that's a buffet. Everything's there, you know. If you don't want to eat the salad, you don't have to, but you could have. It's already there, and it's already provided for you. So in the kingdom of God, all these things were provided. So Jesus said, preach the kingdom of God. Then he sent out the 70 people, the 70 brothers and sisters, two by two, and he told them to heal the sick that are there within and preach the kingdom of God. He had a one-track mind. When he was raised from the dead, he said, go, because the kingdom of God has arrived. And then he told them to preach again, the kingdom of God. But until you understand the kingdom of God, basically you're going to have trouble walking in the newness of life that God wants you to walk in. You know, he gave us life when we got born again, but now he wants to live in life more abundantly. And the Bible says basically that God, as you read it, is not in control of everything. And that's where we get in trouble a lot, because we want him to do everything for us in our life. And if you believe he's in control and sovereign, then he's in control of every good thing, but he's also in control of every bad thing in my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if my house is doing good and I get $1 million house, God is good. My house burns down, God is good. But he isn't good in the back of your mind, because my house burnt down. But that's not what it's all about. If God could get his way, you know, he said he wants to save all, everybody, everyone. I don't care if it's a prostitute. I don't care who it is. He wants all to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth, which deals with the kingdom of God. So basically, if God could save everybody, everybody would be saved right now. No question about it would be done. He would save everybody. But notice, we have a choice, don't we? I was almost 30 years old before I received him as Lord and Savior, because I didn't know I could do something like that. But it was available to me up until that time. It's not that it was God's time for me to get saved. No, my time was at the very beginning. So it's not God's in control that it's doing things, because I even thought to myself, why should I pray if God's in control of everything? If he's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway, why should I spend time praying for what he's going to do anyway that he's going to do? So once again, it felt like it eliminated prayer in my life. But basically, Jesus told us everything we could do by demonstrating to us with the Spirit in him everything that we can do. So basically, in the kingdom, you learn that you're an extension of him. And what are you here for? You're here to expand the kingdom of God. I like to put it this way, extend immigration policy to other people who have not become citizens of the kingdom of God. Yes. And then people get in the kingdom of God.
And then you have the rights. It's like if you're an American, you're an ambassador in another country, you have the rights of America when you're there. Well, when you have kingdom rights, it's an invisible kingdom. But first off, you got to understand that Satan became the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. When Adam sinned, he turned a deed over to him. So that's why Jesus came to bring the kingdom back, because man had fallen. It said that on the day he eats that he would surely die, but he didn't die for what? Was it like 900 years or something, or 600? But he died spiritually, and he no longer had the Holy Spirit like he did. He no longer had the dominion. Satan became the god of this world. And it says when Jesus was tempted, it says that he said, all these kingdoms are mine. Satan told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you for me to give to who I will. And Jesus did not say they're not your kingdoms. And that's one place the church is missing. Mm-hmm. Hey, we do have, it's not a battle. It's understanding. It's a legal system. Mm-hmm. And when you understand your legal rights, that's when you get healed or delivered, and especially in deliverance, it's all legality thing.
Yep.
If you're going through the struggle of screaming and yelling, it's going to come back. If you got to scream at the thing for 20 minutes to get it out of a person, it's just going to come back because there's a legal right. But when you break the legal right, they don't even say nothing. They're just gone. You don't even get a manifestation usually. Mm-hmm. And it's all a legal system that's been giving into our hands, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the mystery revealed, Colossians.
Yeah.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The hope of glory. Yep. And then he commands the church right before he goes to go into all the world, and those that believe on him in my name, they shall heal the sick, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. So these are things that we should be doing as a normality in the church today, but because Christians don't believe they have any power, they don't believe they have anything becoming a Christian. But when you find out you became a kingdom, all these things belong to you now. Power came into my life the day that I got born again, and the Spirit of God moved back inside mankind and moved back into me. The Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. I mean, it doesn't say you had to do anything. It came along with coming into the kingdom of God. Healing came to me that day. Victory came to me that day. Everything that I ever wanted belonged to me. So now I'm not on this side trying to convince God, trying to manipulate God, trying to get God to bless me in these areas, because actually in Ephesians chapter 1, it says he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So my kingdom attitude comes from a victory point rather than a victim trying to become a victor. And as long as we keep preaching people at that victory level as their identity, they'll be hoping to get to the victory level rather than the victim. And a lot of times we use people in the Old Testament, you know, you're like Job, but sooner or later you're going to not be like Job anymore, and you're going to make it. You're like Peter. You deny Jesus all the time. That's all right. You're going to get to this place. And that's not your identity at all anymore. If you're born again, you're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And the old things, the old Job, the old Peter have passed away. You're not him anymore. So it's not you achieving things to get into this spot. It's that you were born into this spot. Hallelujah. It can't get much easier than that, can it? Just be born. Well, in your family. I mean, if your family were millionaires and you got born as a baby, what did you do to become a millionaire? Not then. You just came out of your mother's womb, and there it was. You were a millionaire just like that. Well, it's the same way with the kingdom of God.
Another example I like to give is because the church has said, we're just dirty, rotten sinners saved by grace, and oh, I'm just a worm, and we get this worm mentality. And I mean, it's partially true, but it's more like, I like to tell the story, the king had a son that was heir to the country, and he got kidnapped at 2 years old, and then he was raised with thieves and having to steal and eating out of garbage cans. And then when he's 25 years old, someone recognized him. You are the king's son. You don't even know who you are. You're heir to everything is yours in this whole country. Mm-hmm. And he takes him in, he brings him in the palace, and then every time his dad, he'll be walking out to get something out of the refrigerator, and he'll look over and he's digging through the garbage can. What are you doing? Oh, no, no, I'm not worthy. No, you're not a worm. You were created through me and your mother. You are heir to the kingdom. You are not just a worm. You understand? We were created in God's image. We were not created worms. It's like we've got this whole, if you stay in that worm mentality, you'll have a really hard time taking authority in any of the promises of God. But if you understand you are his child, he loves you, he created his image to have fellowship with you, and you have authority over this stuff, you'll move a lot better. And I want to just read real quick 1 Corinthians 2:4, I always like reading these. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And again, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, I believe it is. Let me see. The Bible is trying to stop me. Lord, is that right? 4:19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And that's the thing we're missing, is everybody tries to talk people into this. They've watered it down. And if you can talk someone into getting saved with no power, someone else can talk them into getting into another religion. Yep. But when you demonstrate power, like my friend that I knew, I hadn't seen in 40 years because we were partying buddies, and I got filled with the Spirit in 1989, walked in my shop, and he could hardly walk. He was getting back surgery. His leg was an inch and a half short, and God just totally healed him, and he's just totally different. He is so on fire for God. But if I would have just told him about the Lord and talked him into saying a prayer with me that he may not even really want to say, you wouldn't have really seen any change. So the power is what God is wanting to demonstrate. And that's what's going to bring revival in America, is the power of God.
Well, yeah, there is no revival really without power. I mean, isn't it? You just got ordinary Christianity again, and we've got that all over the world there is now. But it's interesting, even the scripture you read, that Paul was coming to the Corinthians to see who were big talkers or had big power. Mm-hmm. That means in that time, Paul didn't judge people by their doctrine. He didn't judge them by how many years they went to school. He didn't judge them. He judged them by how much power they were actually operating in, so he could find out who was operating in power and who wasn't. Now, if we can't operate in power, then how was Paul going to figure out who had power and who didn't, if nobody could manifest the power that was already there? And once again, that comes from more of a Christian mentality again, that we can't do this. We don't have any power. God's got to do it all. It's up to him. We can't do nothing about it. And Jesus always attacked us with parables to try to get our mind the way it's supposed to be. That's what he taught on the prodigal son. Prodigal son left just like we did. We got kicked away from Jesus. He came back. He welcomed us back. We came back. We didn't want anything. We're just old sinners. I know I'm saved and going to heaven, but I can't do nothing. I'm just full of the devil. It just don't work for me. I don't have any money. I'm a sinner. And he comes down and he says, hey, give him the fatted calf. Come on. You're back home here. You're part of my family. You're part of the kingdom. Then you got the other side, the religious side, saying, well, I did everything for you. How come you're not honoring me? How come you didn't give me the fatted calf? You got one side that's living in a sin consciousness. Then you got the other side that's living in a get or qualify for consciousness. And neither one of those work, because it was all freely given to us by our Father in heaven, who provided everything for us. And here, let me just read here in Matthew chapter 6.
Yeah.
Let's look at verse 31. It says, therefore, stop worrying about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So here Jesus is trying to explain to them the difference that's going to take place when they become in the family of God, and God becomes their legal father. They become the legal child, and he couldn't understand why they would worry about what you eat and what you drink and what you wear and your mortgage and your car payment and everything else in your life financially. But most of the church worries about all those things. Well, that shows that we got a Christian mentality rather than a kingdom mentality, because a kingdom mentality puts its trust in our source, who is our Father, who's obligated to provide all we need, as long as, in verse 33, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. When I first got saved, my whole list was about all these things. Yeah, pay the mortgage, Lord. Pay the car payment, Lord. Give me some money. Pay the kids' tuition. Pay this, pay that. And I got to that scripture, and all I had to do was change my priority, which a kingdom priority is to seek first the kingdom, its morals, its values, its ways, its power, its authority. And when I seek to understand those things and I walk in righteousness, which is basically another legal word, which means right standing. In other words, I'm not going to run my life at 100 mile an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone. I'm going to follow the law. Even in the natural, you do that when you're driving or whatever. So I'm going to follow the laws. Whatever the law of the kingdom is, I'm going to follow that law. And if I do that thing, he's responsible for all these things that I need provided for me. So it took my prayer life off what do I want and need onto what does he want and need. And that's something that will change your prayer life, because we're here basically to do his will, not our will. We're not here. I mean, I thought I was here for God to be a genie in a bottle whenever I needed something, rub it, and hopefully God would pop out of the bottle and he'd do something for me because he was here for me. But basically, we're here for him. We're here for him purpose and his plan.
Yeah, and part of the problem in the church is if we come into the kingdom of God, many people, they get one foot in the kingdom and they still got one foot in the world. And anywhere you're not lining up with the kingdom, you now just... the second most powerful being on the planet just became your enemy. As long as you're walking in the kingdom, you're good. But the problem is you don't realize you may have a little more attack than you had when you were serving him because you weren't his enemy. Mm-hmm. Now you're a threat, and he don't want you moving in the power of God, and he's going to try to keep you off course. So anywhere you're walking in sin in your life, he's going to just attack you there to keep you in that.
Mm-hmm. And just like any other government, every government in the world has laws. And you're, as a citizen, obliged to keep those laws. Well, it's the same way in the spiritual kingdom of God. There are laws, and there's plenty of them in the book. It's in the Bible. That's the Constitution, tells you what you should and shouldn't be doing and can't and shouldn't be doing. And basically, a lot of people have trouble not because they don't pray right. It's because they don't follow the laws. And if Amen. You don't follow the laws, you get a result of what you're going to end up doing. I mean, even in the natural realm, if you climb up to a 10-story building and you jump off the 10-story building, there's a good chance you're not going to have a very good outcome at the end because you're going to splat down on the sidewalk. And basically, it's not God. God didn't say, well, I want to kill that person. Or God didn't say, I pushed him off the building. No, you made a decision basically to jump off the building. And when you did, there's a result to your lawless actions. And when you do that, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. As long as we follow what the law tells us to do, as long as a seed has water planted in the ground, it will grow. Put it on cement, you can keep it there. You can cast the devil out of it. You can shout at it. You can tell it to grow. You can scream at it. You can holler at it. You can get a group of people to pray for it. It's not going to grow because you have not followed the laws of the natural. And it's the same way the kingdom of God has laws. So what am I going to do? I'm going through the Bible. I'm studying the morals of the kingdom. I'm studying the laws of the kingdom. I'm studying the power of the kingdom. I'm studying the authority of the kingdom. I want to learn all these things that nobody ever told me that I had before. Nobody told me I had these things. Thank God for the Bible. I mean, thank goodness. So by reading the Bible, I found out all these things that belong to me. And one thing I needed to get out of my life, if I wanted to not act like a Gentile or an unbeliever, would basically be worry, because Jesus said, why do you worry? And why did he say that? Because he wanted to know why we worry. He said, let not your heart be troubled. So I went from worry wart. Matter of fact, most of my prayers were in worry. You know, you're running out of money, and oh, God. And if that don't work, you kneel down, oh, God, and that doesn't work either. So basically, I was praying because I was worried I wasn't going to have enough. But when I found out I was no longer responsible, many times in my life, I'd just go to God, and I'd just say, you got a problem. You know, God, you got a problem. I've been seeking first your kingdom, and you got to take care of this over here. You'll take care of that because you're my father, and I expect you to do it. And ever since I quit worrying, everything in my life just started getting so much better. I mean, and it's probably not good physically either. Worry all the time and fear
really
all the time. Yeah, that's what messes most people up.
Yeah, worry and unforgiveness, praying for healing, that's always seems to be the worst culprit. Just, or the most common, I should say, because I do run and sometimes it's a cult thing they did or something, and they repent and then they get healed. But unforgiveness is like 95% of the time. That's if you're not getting anywhere, it's that. And sometimes it's faith, but it's usually unforgiveness, honestly, because we can pray. You can pray for people that, I mean, I've had people use CF for many times when they're healed, just strangers praying for them. They didn't have any faith they were going to be healed. Is our faith. That's why we're told to lay hands on them. And how much faith do you need to see to get someone healed? Do you have to see someone healed? You have to have enough faith that you'll push through the fear and ask them to let you pray. That's all the faith it really takes, because everyone has a measure of faith. But if you get someone that's been taught against healing and they have that skeptic doubt thing, it will definitely block. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a difference between just unbelief and doubt. You can feel it when you're praying, or I feel things a lot. But usually it's you'll have I pray for a lot of people, and there's people that come for different things. And there's just certain ones, and they're always the very forgiving people, no matter how bad they're done, that they're just going to be healed no matter what. I mean, I've seen like 3 tumors instantly leave off this lady, no matter what she has. She'll call, my blood sugar's high. It goes right down. Just and she has a lot of problems, but she's mm-hmm. not holding on to any bitterness mm-hmm. and a lot of problems, actually.
Yeah, and even the, when God created us to begin with, he created us in his image and in his likeness. So our physical body didn't really know fear, didn't really know worry, because God's image and likeness has none of that. So when man fell, basically, your body is not physically made ready for worry and for fear and for strife and for all that stuff. And a lot of people get into sickness simply because that's the way they live their whole life. They're worried all the time. They're in strife, and your body's just saying, stop it. Let me go. You're messing me up. And a lot of sickness and disease comes to us from that. But a lot of things, once again, we can control that we're not controlling, and we're just blaming God, because after all, he's in control of everything here on the earth. And in Revelations, it talks about after you're being born again, Revelations chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince and the kings of the earth, unto whom he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, when I got born again, I was taught that over and over again. God has forgiven you. God loves you. God has forgiven you. God loves you. And that's the truth. No question about that. And some people need to get that. But the next verse, nobody ever told me. Verse 6 says, and has made me a king and priest unto God. Nobody told me I was a king and priest, that I was a king where I could actually rule in this earth realm. I just thought I was forgiven and loved, that everything else was up to him, everything else. And so, you know, the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, that's not God's responsibility. He's not going to resist the devil for us. He told us to give the devil no place, but we don't care. We want to give the devil no place.
And they leave out the first part, though.
Submit to God.
Yeah, live in sin and resist the devil. It does not work.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It doesn't work, definitely. And basically all these things, that you're a king. And I was thinking one day when I was in a hurry, and I stopped, and I was going through Burger King. And if you ever go through Burger King under the drive-thru, when you get something, they hand you a crown. And they say, you rule. And they give you a crown. I thought that was so cool. They gave me, you rule. And God said to me, he said, you know what? Now, if you go back through the line, you don't like pickles on your burger, and you go through there, and they give you pickles, and you eat it, and you say, well, I'm never going back to Burger King again because they gave me pickles. I don't know that I rule. I don't have to have a pickle on my hamburger if I don't want to. I'm a king. They gave me a crown. I rule at Burger King. So I'm not having a pickle on my burger, and I could go back through. But most people keep running into messes not knowing that they can have what they really desire, but they will not use their authority to do it because they do not have the kingdom mentality that you have been made a king. And the Bible says you're here to rule on the earth. The Bible basically says heaven is God's rulership and the earth belongs to the children of men. So you have power, you have authority, and it comes from knowing your place in the kingdom of God and how things work in your life.
Yeah, we have dominion. He gave Adam dominion over everything except people. We don't have dominion over people.
And that's the only thing we use it for.
and there's a lot of witchcraft prayers, people praying prayers for, and even praying. I just don't even agree with people are praying for their loans to be lost by the bank. That's not really scripture.
Never thought of that. Or the bank to close down. Maybe that'd be a good
prayer. Pray for somebody to pay it.
Yeah. And he gives us such an easy formula when you get in the kingdom of God. It seems like there's so many things you've got to do in Christianity that they're telling you, but Jesus made it very simple. Number one, seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, not when you got time. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in that kingdom, and then everything else lines up for each and every one of us. So a lot of my problems in my early time was that I had the wrong priorities. my priorities was now I'm saved. God's supposed to do everything for me. I'm not going to have problems anymore because I'm a Christian now. Everything's going to be good. Well, we know that's not true because here in the earth, things come against us. But I found out by seeking the kingdom of God that I could rule over different things in my life, that I could control things in my life, that I had authority in areas of my life. And until I started using that stuff and believing it, I basically was always, I could never really understand why God didn't like me that much. Because he's not doing everything great. He's messing stuff up. He's not doing it. But it's not that way. It's that we don't do what we're supposed to do. According to the Bible, he wishes that we prosper, and he wishes we be in health in 3 John 2. That's his wishes. Well, that's certainly my wishes. I wish I prosper and be in health. Well, if God wishes and I wish, then why in the heck ain't I prospering and being in health? Well, because the complete scripture says, your soul prospers. So your mind, will, and emotions. What's your attitude when it comes to healing? What's your attitude when it comes to prosperity? Well, God prospers some, but he don't prosper others. It just depends who he wants to prosper. But that's not a kingdom attitude. That's a stupid attitude. The kingdom attitude is you are his child. You've entered the kingdom of God. You've been born into it. And there's many privileges that have been given to you that belong to you, but you have to enforce them. I think it's in Galatians it says you have to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has already set you free. He's not going to set you free in the future. He already set you free right now.
And the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And that's way more spiritual. I mean, that's way more common than people realize. It's the enemy's always, if you just take authority over him. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in little things, I had someone in our church, I'll mention her name, but she called, was about to quit her job. Oh my God, I can't take this anymore. And she's like the only Christian in there, and they're just all over me. And I said, call me on your way to work tomorrow. So she called, and I said, okay, every spirit, and you do not speak to anyone, and those people, you do not speak against this person in the name of Jesus, said her name. And they said, and every spirit in this person, you don't manifest over anything they say. And she calls afterwards, oh my God, it's like I got a new workplace. She calls like 3 days in a row. And then she didn't call, and she calls, oh my God, it was terrible. I said, well, you didn't call. Oh my gosh, yeah, I'll call you in the morning. She calls, and I did it 2 more times, and then I didn't hear from her for like 2 weeks. And then she showed up in church. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, well, I started to call you, and I thought, I don't need to call him. I can do that myself, mm-hmm. and I'm doing it myself, and it's great.
Yep. And that's what it's all about, basically. You know, I got a T-shirt on. You probably can't see it over the radio, but it says, no more bad days. And I started, that was my slogan, no more bad days. Every morning I'd wake up, I'd say, no more bad days for me. I'm living in victory every day. I'm going to walk with the Lord every day. I'm going to stay in his presence every day. I don't care what happens, and none of that can do anything, take it away from me. You know, the Bible says we have the peace that the world can't take from us. But it can take it from you if you got your peace from the world. If you did, then you can lose it. But if your peace is what God did for us and my kingdom position and everything he's provided for me, then I cannot lose my peace in any natural situation because of everything that God has already done for me. And this helps a lot in praise and worship too. It's hard if your house is being repoed and you don't feel good and your dog's sick and your cat won't listen to you anymore and you're trying to praise God on Sunday morning. You know, you got your hands up and saying, praise such a good God. Now you don't feel anything. But when you find out how good he really is and everything he's provided for us, and we just need to learn to take advantage as citizens of the kingdom of everything he provided for us when we were born into the kingdom of God.
I remember when I had an irrigation business and with the... I did a lot of work at this development. It's actually in the reserve. I was doing like all the work in there. And the foreman runs the jobs. He would, he'd just always be cussing and screaming, which is fine, you know, it didn't bother me. And then I had to work Christmas Eve. They had to get this line and I had nobody to work and I was real sick. And I had a bucket of me. I was throwing up every 5 minutes. I'd feel so terrible. And I'd feel good for a few minutes afterwards. I'd dig real fast. I had to dig a 3-foot trench all the way across this place and lay a big pipe and wires in it. It was a lot of work. So then they called me out there a couple weeks later, and they ripped the whole thing out. So I'm just digging it back in, and the guy comes over, and he's like, I don't understand you. I'm like, what don't you understand? He says, it don't matter what we do to you. You never get upset about anything. I said, oh, I can explain that to you. I gave him the gospel. And I said, if you want to know, we can get right in my van right there. Mm-hmm. And that foreman got the van of me, accepted the Lord.
And you got some results. Psalm 103, it tells us basically, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits or privileges. And it says, who forgives all my sins, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, and who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. I like this psalm because he's not even talking to God. He's talking to his soul. He's looking at himself, looking at his soul. Hey, stop it. Quit thinking stupid. Bless the Lord, oh, you stupid soul, would you? And don't forget, quit forgetting his benefits. Quit saying you're sick when he healed you. Quit saying you're broke when he provided for you. Quit saying you're an old sinner when he forgave all your sins. What are you doing? Don't forget it. And I think this is in here because we do. That's the only reason why it would be in here, because we do forget. If we never forget, it would be a waste of time to stick that in there. But yeah, we forget the things that the kingdom has already given us. And if you don't know he's already given them to you, you never forget them because you don't know them anyway. So you're still waiting on God to bless you, still waiting on God to heal you, still trying to pray more fervently than you ever prayed before, going to church a little bit extra so God sees you going to church, and certainly he'll answer my prayer now. And that's not what it's all about. It's about receiving all the wonderful things that Jesus provided for us on the cross, paid for by his blood. And basically, we need to learn to take advantage because of the legal rights we have as sons and as citizens of God.
You know, there's been many times I left someone's house. People call me a lot for healing or deliverance. And people may have a hard time with this, but I said, I pull out and I get good deliverance, or someone was healed, you know, pretty awesome healing. And when I pulled out, I'd say, thank you, Lord, for healing that person like that. And he'd say, thank you.
No.
Because he can't do it without us doing it.
That's right.
He set it up to do through us.
Yep.
We just understand the kingdom. I want to read real quick Romans 5:19, because when Pastor Tom's saying about us old sinners, because some people are still there, you know, says, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many were made righteous, and we were made righteous. So we are in right standing with God, or else we could not come boldly before the throne. Mm-hmm. So it's boldness and that gets things done in the kingdom, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't say, I know this guy, he's cast tons of demons out. Thurman Scrivener's kind of known worldwide. He passed away now, but he said he was praying for someone, a lady's daughter, and he was casting a lot of demons out, and he was getting a little tired, and she's like, I can pray. And he said, and she goes, Mr. Demon, please come out of my daughter. You go, ma'am, that's okay. I'll get it.
Did he come out?
Oh, he got a lot of stuff out.
He probably laughing, huh? Thought it was funny, the demon.
Yeah, he was. He's the one that had, I'll just share that there was a lady that was, unless you got.
Go ahead.
Okay. There's a lady that was 3 weeks without eating, last stages of cancer, her incisors are rotted from colon cancer, and she's going to die any day. And she was Catholic and asked the priest to come read last rites over her. And her husband heard this guy on a CD, and he called and said, can you fly out here and pray for my wife? And it took her 2.5 hours to get dressed. She's so weak. She wanted to be dressed when he got here. And he read her scriptures for like 3 hours. He always used a lot of scripture and to build her faith. And then he said, oh, I got to catch a plane in an hour. Have you heard enough word to be healed? She goes, yes, you cast this demon out of me and I'm healed. So he prayed for her and he's like, sir, can you take me to the airport? She goes, I'm going with you. Are you sure? Yes, I'm healed. They get to the airport. Drop me off here. I'll walk to the gate. I'm walking to the gate. Are you sure? Yes, I'm healed. And then on the way back, she goes, stop at this seafood restaurant up on the right. They have the best shrimp in town. And she can't even eat. And she eats and she's healed. Well, the priest didn't make it out there. She called to have come pray last rites over her. And then it was like 2 months later, the priest called to apologize to the husband, and she answered the phone. He's like, Barbara? She goes, yes. What happened? Well, this Baptist minister came by and prayed for me, and I'm healed. Can you ask him if I can have his phone number? And then he said, yeah, and he called him. He said, sir, we have been praying for people for 25 years. No one's ever been healed. Could you come teach us how to pray? So he goes out there, and it's like 20 priests. And he's talking, and while he's talking, he said, if you want to be sure you never see healing, just say, God, if it's your will, heal him, because you have to know it's God's will. You're appropriating God's will. And this one priest said, well, I see my mistake. And he left, and 3 months later, the priest called him and says, sir, I want to thank you for coming out. Every single person we pray for since you taught us how to pray has been healed.
And it goes back to the fact that, and we can talk, James and I can talk the way that we talk, basically, because we spend time in the Word and we know the will of God in situations. If you don't know what God's will is, you'll pray feeling like you're fighting God and the enemy at the same time because you don't know if it's God's will. And I've had people all the time say, you never know what God will do. Well, then what are you going to pray about? What can you come in agreement with him if you don't know what he's going to do to begin with? So as you get in this book, which is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, it's what he wanted for us, written down on paper for us. So basically, when I understand his will is for me to be healed, period. His will is for me to be prosperous, period. When I do that, it's now God on my side and me with God for enforcing his will. And the Bible talks about, you know, us changing our minds and meditating on the Word of God and coming to a place where we know the perfect will of God. Well, why is that so important? So that we can do God's will here on the earth, like the Our Father says, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how are you going to help God's will be done on earth if you never know what God's will is? It's going to be hard to enforce his will.
Amen.
On the earth if you don't know what the heck you're doing, you know? Well, God will do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. No, it's all in this book, and he wrote it for us so that we could read it, we could know God's will, and we could enforce the will of God here. Is God's will, is will deliverance? Yes. We're supposed to enforce that. Healing? Yes. Prosperity? Yes. Extending the kingdom of God? Yes. So when I know it's his will, now I can boldly do those things without wondering whether it's God's decision to do it or not.
Amen. I was asked to go over to a Bible study where, and they were, and I'm not, I was Baptist many years, and Thurman was Baptist, and he got more people healed, Sid Ross, than anybody ever met in his life. So I'm not saying there's, but most of them aren't teaching that. And it was a group that were going this Bible study about, there was 30 of them. And I started talking to the guy running the group. And then he asked me to come pray, and God healed his grandfather, healed his back instantly. And actually his neck, the next morning we got up, he could turn his head the way he couldn't turn it. He's 86 years old. And he'd have to use his other arm to hold his arm up and shave. And he lifted his arm up, it was healed. And he had black spots on his ear where he'd had cancer burned off, and he had brand new skin. And then, so all of a sudden they're having me come pray. And, so I pray for one guy, and his elbow got healed. He couldn't do a push-up for 3 years. And he actually did push-ups, went home, put 205 pounds on the bench press, did it 10 times. And he asked to pray for his eyes. His eyes got healed. He's reading this small print without glasses. And then, the next person said, pray for my eyes. I told him to pray for their eyes. I said, keep it simple. And then he asked, I said, just command the blind spirit to go and eyes be healed. So he asked Jesus to take the blind spirit from him, which doesn't work. And then he asked, begging God to heal him for a long prayer. I'm going, oh gosh. I said, well, Lord, you healed the guy's ear. I didn't pray in his neck, and maybe you'll just do it. I kind of hope you don't, because I'd like to teach him the right way to do it. Nothing happened. I was like, look, you got to keep it simple. Long prayers never get answered. You're begging. You're not in faith. You just, and I was like, and you can't ask Jesus to take the demons. He gave us authority on the earth. He's at the right hand of God, and he set it up where we cast him out. He gave us authority to do that. I was like, you'll never get a demon out. I said, just repeat after me. Look at his eyes. Say, blind spirit, come out. Jesus' name. Blind spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Guy could read it.
Yeah, and you look at Jesus' life, who knew how to operate in the kingdom, no question about that, and he demonstrated how we should be operating in the kingdom also. But it shows Jesus. Jesus never prayed like a two-hour prayer to get somebody healed and delivered. He just used the come out, the go, the rise up and walk, to do this, to do that. So there's authority in your life, and I'd ask you where you are today. I mean, where are you? Are you a Christian, basically, who feels low, and you feel like you're a sinner, feel like you're a loser, feel like this? You don't have to feel that way anymore. You can find out who you are in the kingdom of God. God just by going to the Bible here and figuring it out. I also wrote a book called Kingdom Now that are available. You can probably get them here at the station, or you can call Luann and get one. They are absolutely free. You can't not get one because of what they cost, because they don't cost anything. But we're just trying to get the kingdom message out to people, because we want more people living in victory. That is our heart. That's what we want to do, and that's what we really desire, to see people walk in. There's too many Christians out there who are not walking in what they can be walking in, and it's not their fault. It's just that people are destroyed, according to God's people, because of lack of knowledge. And one of the final pegs that I always put in this is in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, it talks about the end times, and the disciples were getting all nervous, and when's the end times going to come? And people come to me and said, do you know anything about the end times? I say, yeah, I know all about it. It's in Matthew 24. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, Jesus said there'll be earthquakes, and there'll be storms, and there'll be this, but that's the beginning of all things. That's not the end. That's the beginning. There'll be all these other things that have gone on, people saying that they're the Christ and they're not, or anything else. But if you read all the way through in verse 14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world for a witness in all nations, and then the end shall come. So Jesus, people don't think he answered the question. Of course he did. He answered it in 14. As soon as we preach the good news about the kingdom of God into all nations, into all places, and into how to act and how to walk in the morals of God, and how to get in the kingdom of God, and how to do all these things, as that filters into the entire world, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, he could have said any gospel there, but he said the good news about the kingdom. So as we preach that, we're getting closer and closer to the end times. And basically, the end times is not set, I don't believe, in God's hands. It's set in our hands. In other words, when we get the job done, God will be able to do what God did. If you remember Noah and the ark, basically, Noah built the ark. Well, God could not flood the earth until Noah built the ark. So it wasn't in God's time. God's waiting. He's hammering. He's doing this. He's trying to get the animals. God's waiting on him to get done with the ark. Finally, he finishes his assignment. And when he finished his assignment, the rain came immediately. Well, as soon as the church starts and finishes the assignment that God has given them to preach this gospel of the kingdom into all the world, then the end shall come. That will be the end of it. So it's exciting for me to know that I've really got a pretty good purpose here, and so do you. You got a purpose of bringing the end times through preaching the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and the end is the beginning, so don't fret over it.
Yeah, you don't have to be too nervous.
It's good news to us.
You
don't
have to be too nervous about that at all. Okay. No question about it. Hallelujah.
Do you want to pray?
Go ahead.
Father, we thank you for this day.
Yes,
Father, we ask, Lord, that you just impregnate people with the truth of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And anything we said wrong, we just ask to be water off a duck's back. Father, I ask you just bless everyone. Anyone needs healing, I ask you move in those areas, and we just speak healing over people listening in the name of Jesus. And if you want to call Luann, her number is 631-745-7980. And she's out of town right now, but I'm James Wrench, and I'm with Tom Karras, and this has been Kingdom Recovery. Thank you, and God bless. And I want to say goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. I want to thank Luann again for what she did to allow us this time to be together, and we thank her for her very, very much.
Amen.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love, all the glory to the God of love.
When you're at the end of the road and it's not the one that you would have chosen, when you're at the end of your rope and you're holding on,
but feel like you're falling. With every option exhausted, you tried everything you know. You saw light, then you lost it. See it now, without a doubt, he's already moving. There's not a pain that you hold, he doesn't know, and he isn't using.